It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Revelation chapter 17, starting at verse 1, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Beast and the Whore.
The true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you've studied this in Scripture from Babel of old, where they had that spirit and they erected it to Egypt, where there was the Antichrist Pharaoh and all of his false prophets and the lure of Egypt. You can study the lure of Egypt, that's Babylon, and Rome, and lo and behold, the United States fits into this too. It's all of the same system. It's still Babylon.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
That's not the only thing he's using. He not only wants all your loyalties to bow down and trust the government and value the system of the world, but notice this. There's a much more crafty way that he is trying to seduce people and win the loyalty of hearts, we say. How so? John says, I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. This woman is doing everything she can to seduce, drawing people away from the throne of Christ. She is a city. She is a city. I think it's also fair to say that if the pure woman is the bride of Christ, the church, this is the beast's counterfeit church. This is the beast's counterfeit church. And you notice how this system works together. If the beautiful woman, the pure woman of chapter 12 is the bride of Christ, what is this? You have the counterfeit of the beast, which seduces to give all allegiance to the beast, to give the beast worship. And that's why the imagery is so strong here. What do we think of when we think of a prostitute? Well, we think of seduction. That's on the mind of John as he's seeing this image here, the most powerful form of it being sexual. And that's what he uses to make these symbols make sense to us. This is what John said in 1 John, that the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one. What is the greatest way that the beast holds people captive and keeps them under his sway? Babylon. Babylon. The lure of Babylon. So you see the two assaults here, don't you? If he decides not to force it with persecution, which he's done in history, he uses every other kind of seduction under the sun to accomplish the same purpose and drag people in. Those are the two ways that are being described. One pastor said, the symbol indicates that which allures, tempts, seduces, and draws people away from God. Look at the city of the world. Look at the world in its form of hatred. Look at all the things it uses. It's music, it's culture, it's industry. Everything that it can do to lay hold of us and draw us into it. Notice how she's described. In her hand is a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. What's in that cup? What's in that cup? Well, what absorbs us and captures the heart? What pulls us away from Christ? It's in that cup. The beast has filled that cup with everything he possibly can to pull us away. And using sexual imagery, don't you think the first thing we should say in our day is pornography? It's in that cup. It's in that cup. How many under its grip? How many of even believers, true believers, struggle with this? Struggle with the lure and the power of this seduction? You got to be realistic. We're done being over pious and not talking about this stuff in our day. It's killing the whole culture around you. Hugh Hefner just died this week. I've seen that man in that purple robe for many years. It's been an image in front of me. He brought an entire sexual revolution to this country. Ross Douthat, I hope I pronounced his name right, I think that's how you pronounce it. In the New York Times this week, had a very interesting piece. Hefner's success as a businessman showed the rotten side of capitalism, the side that exploits appetites for money, that feeds leech-like on our vices, that dissolves family and religion while promising that consumption will fill the void they leave behind. You stand back from it. How could a man, think about this for a minute now in light of Revelation 17, how could a man who was totally abusive to women in the worst form, how could a man who is a true misogynist, sexually exploiting women on the worst way, receive the kind of accolades and praise in a culture that supposedly condemns misogyny? Can you explain that to me? It's because it's all the same system of the beast. It all runs together. It's serving the purpose of the beast. Why don't we have an uproar by feminists against Playboy Mansion? It's all together. It's all one. It's in the cup together. It's like a good wine. The more you drink, the more you get drunk and you take it all in. Doesn't really matter what it is at that point. Unless it's the law of God, then they hate it. Then they hate it. You see it? Of course you see this. The beast is bent on destroying us, and he uses Antichrist persecution to do it, and government, but his greatest tool is Babylon. That is his greatest means of seduction, contrary to the means of grace that God gives his city, his people. Here are the many means of seduction that pull you away. Oh, it's powerful. As a matter of fact, you can't fight it. You cannot fight it. These seductions will handle you and take you. John described Babylon's lure by saying it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Doesn't that just characterize it? I think you have a great illustration all the way back in the Old Testament with Achan. I've always had a heart for Achan, you know? That guy looks at a Babylonian garment. It was just plunder. It was a Babylonian garment. Did you know that? And when finally he was caught, he confesses the sin and he says, I admit it. I looked at that Babylonian garment. I lusted after it and I took it. I'm no different than that. God was using him as a big illustration, right? Of the lure and the power of Babylon in your hearts. It takes the shattering power of Jesus to set you free, to forgive you, to cleanse you from all the filthiness of this, and then to change your desires to love him, to replace those desires with holy desires, which is what he has to do in our hearts, that you might then value the things of his kingdom. But this lure holds the world. And what Revelation 17 is doing is saying, you need to understand that. You need to understand this. This is giving you the symbols to understand it. That this is what the dragon has done. He has joined with the beast a counterfeit kingdom with counterfeit promises and a counterfeit city all after your hearts. That's what this is. And this city, since it's serving the beast, it's using these things with the goal of destroying. That's why she is captured as drunk with the blood of the saints. In other words, she's martyred the people of God this way. By turning the world against the church this way. By her moral stances, remember? When the church has moral stances and the cup of abominations is all accepted in the culture, there's the clash. There's where she comes and kills. There's where she strikes a dagger right into the heart. Read Proverbs 5 and 7 to your children. Read it to them about the seductress who didn't know when he went into her that an arrow would strike his liver and he'd die. That's what that is. So, what is the mystery? Babylon the Great. If the Lord has opened your eyes, you see this. That's the mystery. You see this if the Lord's opened your eyes. You see the history. You see it now. This is the blessing of Revelation, of reading the book, the blessing that you get. What does he say in verse 7 through 12? He says, this beast you saw was and is not and will ascend. He's false. He's not he who is and who was and at the beginning that we looked at. He has always been working in history to take people down this way with the lure of Babylon. This is your history lesson. Babylon's always existed. Babylon's always been here. It's come and it's gone, and it's come up real strong at times. Particularly, it was really strong at the moment this was written, for there was Rome. And wow, does he use Rome to make this point. The beast has seven heads. His power has always been shown in the world, the number of perfection. But you'll notice he says the seven heads and seven mountains are seven mountains on which the woman sits. That's how Rome was. It had those seven hills right there. They knew exactly what he was talking about. What sat on those seven mountains? Rome was a political beast serving the beast in its worst form as it was persecuting. But its great attraction, its most powerful way that it won the inhabitants of the empire, was through Babylon. Oh, it had so much. That nation, that empire had so much. All political powers are symbolized here that stand in opposition to Jesus and the powerful leaders of these kingdoms. He's saying all work in tandem and work together with Babylon at different times, at different places. They rise up stronger, but they're all working together to accomplish the same thing. That's the point of this. These kings are said to have committed fornication with the woman. You see that? They're involved just as much. They're just as corrupt. In other words, these kings use the woman themselves to fill themselves and indulge themselves, and they use the woman to have the inhabitants worship them. That's the beast. That's the beast. Satan's after your worship. He'll use political powers to force you, or the lust of Babylon to conquer you. And then he'll rip it right away. Now here's where the word of encouragement comes tonight. It's verse 14, isn't it? They made war with the wrong one, didn't they? They made war with the wrong one. Verse 14. They will make war on the Lamb. Big mistake. And the Lamb will conquer them, all of them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him, this is you, are called, chosen, faithful. What a wonderful verse in the midst of all this, isn't it? That all throughout history, you notice there's been one kingdom that cannot be shaken. There's been one king that cannot be toppled. And all these kingdoms have come and gone, and the Lord has been the one to take them all down. That's why Rome is not here. How could that empire ever fall? All of them come and go. They will come, they will go. The Lamb overcomes them all when they get in this worst beastly form. All throughout history there has been the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you've studied this in Scripture, from Babel of old, where they had that spirit and they erected it, to Egypt, where there was the Antichrist Pharaoh and all of his false prophets, and the lure of Egypt. You can study the lure of Egypt. That's Babylon. And Rome. And lo and behold, the United States fits into this too. It's all of the same system. It's still Babylon. It belongs to Babylon. It's no savior. All of them have come and gone. All of them. You can study their monuments in history. One day, if the Lord keeps this world, they will be studying ours. They will be studying ours. None of them stands, because there's only one eternal king and an eternal kingdom who is Lord over all, whose kingdom shall have no end, and you are called, chosen, and faithful, and belong to him. Isn't that wonderful? I want to close tonight with this last section that I think is probably struck me the most this week in working on it. bowls of 16 are being poured out on Babylon. What did he do in the last section? The angel poured out a bowl on Babylon and threw the kingdom into what? Confusion. Confusion. What has John shown us? The angel pouring these bowls now is the one speaking. And what has he done? Thrown the kingdom of the beast into darkness. He's thrown it in confusion. And yet, when the kingdom of darkness operates to try to destroy us and the church is witness, this is what you can expect. This is the Lord's promise to you that he's defending you and keeping you, as we say. And how does he do it? He throws the kingdom into confusion. I know we pray for peace and we pray for a right way that government functions, and we should. But behind it, in terms of the kingdom of darkness and light, we have to see what he's saying here. Doesn't this help you with what's happening today right now? Look at verse 15. The waters which you saw in verse 15, where the prostitute is seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the 10 horns that you saw, now listen to this, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. What? They're going to hate Babylon? The beast is going to hate Babylon. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire, for, this is the bowl, God has put it into their hearts to carry out his purpose by being of one mind and handing over their royal power to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. That is such an important verse. Here's what he just said. The beast and his kingdom will turn on Babylon. The beast and his persecuting power will at times hate the harlot and turn on her. What does that look like? What is that? He's going to take away her lure. He's going to unleash, the Lord in his purposes will unleash the ugliness of the beast so that everyone sees this system for what it is. This is what we now are able to see now that Hugh Hefner's died in the wake of the disaster of what he did. Rome was not interested in filling bellies. In its worst form, it was interested in destroying, bent on destruction. It will take away candy from the baby at its worst moment. What do I mean? The angel is saying that he has thrown the kingdom of the beast into confusion, fulfilling Jesus' words that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Does that help you? Well, you can take this for what you will. I don't want to read too much into providence. But I saw the strangest thing happen in Babylon this week that I've ever seen. The strangest thing. The greatest idol of this land was just split in half. Dagon fell. What idol's that? Maybe it'll get up again. I don't know. The NFL. Do you know what it's called in society? You can look it up. The indestructible NFL. That idol has been in the cup of the woman for a long time, seducing people away from God's house for years. That idol has been pulling people away from God's worship for decades. How confused was Babylon this week? How divided was Babylon this week? Why? Why do I say that? Well, look at what happened. With just one blow, the political powers turned on it. That's the strangest thing I've ever seen. It's odd. The most bizarre turn of events, and what's left? People realizing all of a sudden that these idols really aren't all that satisfying and powerful. This thing could be shattered in a minute. No matter where you stand on the issues, that's not the point. Look how fragile that idol is. Look what could happen by one statement by a political leader to an idol. That's Babylon. Idols in the cup can be poured out real quickly. And that should make us all evaluate priorities. I said this week, it's remarkable how some Christians are offended and ready to boycott the NFL over loyalty to our flag, and yet for decades have disregarded their own offense toward God in showing more loyalty to Sunday sports than to his day of worship. Right? You know how many people said to me, you know, Pastor, you're right. This is our priorities. Priorities are wrong. Well, it's important to always recognize that, isn't it? Priorities. So you see, this all unfold before you tonight. What's the first thing Satan said in the garden to Eve? Did God say? Did God say? What did he do? Look, Eve, you will not die when you eat. What will happen? Your eyes will be opened. Huh. And so here's the verse. Listen to it. And it happened when she saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh. That it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes. And desirable to make one wise, pride of life. That's where John's working from. Those are the categories of Babylon. She took of its fruit and ate. She took of it. That's what the devil used. And their eyes were now run right, opened, and they ran right into Babylon. And little did they know at that point that Satan was done with fruit. Satan was ready to kill them. Jesus came in contrast, set you free. Jesus came as a wonderful Savior. And he says to you, don't believe the lie. Don't believe the lie of Babylon. Don't believe what this all is, that there is a sin that leads to death. Don't believe in these things. But look how wonderful your Father is. Your Heavenly Father who loves you, is going to provide for you, who wants your best, who's instructing you to keep you on the right path. Look at how much he loved you in giving you his Son so that you enter a kingdom that can't be shaken of righteousness and justice and peace. And look at the Holy Spirit whom he's given you and sealed you, who constantly and is committed to finishing the project and gives you means of grace instead. Real power. Means of grace instead in the gospel and the sacraments. Think about that. He's taking it all down. The harlots burned with fire by our own master. And soon we're going to consider the fall of the beast as we continue. So I think of that wonderful phrase that we sing, oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor, and girded with praise. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight and for giving us perspective on what's happening in the world and things that we can hold on to, symbols, so that we can see more clearly, which is your intention. But it's for those who have the eyes to see and the ears to hear by your Spirit. We're all very weak. We all can say here tonight that we have been tempted and seduced by Babylon, and we still easily run into her. But you have taken away, Lord, and convicted us to not love the world or the things in the world, but to love you. And so help us this week to fight, to, when we are tempted to sin, to see it as a cup being held out to us by a prostitute, and to say, no thanks, no thanks. We worship the true King, and we love him. We can't do it except by your power. So give us the strength to put to death by your Spirit the deeds of the body and live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.